For years, we've been hearing dire warnings about the state's unfunded liability, the sum of money it owes the more than 135,000 people who are enrolled in the Employees Retirement System, or ERS. By current estimates, the ERS is some $12 billion short of meeting that unfunded liability, but Tom Williams, its executive director, has a plan, and he's in our studio to tell us about it. Hi, Tom. Thanks for coming in.
Chris, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you. You did indicate that the unfunded liability gets an awful lot of attention. It's about $12.4 billion as we speak. But I think it's a bit overblown in the context that the program's vital importance to the people of this state is the key element of what this program delivers. You mentioned the 135,000 members of the Employees Retirement System. We spend or pay benefits about almost $1.3 billion a year. And this assures our members and their beneficiaries financial security and retirement. This program plays a vital role in sustaining the economy of the state during good times and bad. So the focus is obviously oftentimes on the contributions to the systems, but I want us to understand the other side of that is the benefits that accrue from this system that far outweigh, that are significantly greater than the costs that are incurred.
Well, you know, Tom, as soon as I said that about the $12 billion owed to 135,000 people, the catch is those 135,000 people are not going to need to be paid out all at once. Right.
Well, clearly that's the case. You know, this is a long-term program. We've got people in the plan that are at the beginnings of their working lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've got others who've been receiving benefits for 20 or 30 or more years.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. We pay these benefits out over time. But there is a coming press where we have about 14,000 of our existing active employees who are, in fact, eligible. But we do know, in fact, they won't all retire at once.
Right, right. And meanwhile, you're investing the money.
You're absolutely right. And I think that that allows me to make a critically important point. The contributions are significant. We've just enjoyed a contribution increase that will help us to address the unfunded liability that we've talked about. But few people are aware that 60 to 70% of every dollar that we pay out is derived from the investment earnings. So the investments are a key portion of a key responsibility. It's a key benefit, if you will, allowing us to meet those obligations.
The idea for you running this is to keep those investments giving a robust enough return to stay ahead of the obligations, and you're saying that you're on track to do that.
Yes, and in fact, we are, both in the near and the longer term. But it takes a lot of discipline to stay on that track. We recently lowered the assumed investment return assumption. It was a smart move. It reflects current realities. That added, actually, a couple of billion dollars to the unfunded liability. We also
Tom, let me interrupt you. Investment return assumption.
It's also referred to oftentimes as the discount rate, rate at which our liabilities are discounted. But it's the actual earnings that we anticipate we'll receive on average over a long period of time. So, for example, the present assumed investment return is 7%. Mm-hmm. So, our target in terms of our portfolio allocation is to achieve that level of return or better. And to the extent we achieve higher returns, we address that unfunded liability more quickly.
That's like profit. It functions as profit going back into reducing your obligation.
That's correct. But, of course, all of our profits are to the benefit of our members and paid out as retirement benefits.
Profit's kind of a misnomer. but you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, indeed I do.
7% is doing pretty well by any investment standard, isn't it?
Well, it's a stretch, but a reasonable one, quite frankly, particularly in the more recent fixed income markets. Rates are very, very low, but correspondingly, the equity markets have been quite robust over the last 5, 8, and 10 years. And we've come off a very good year. I guess, fiscal year 17, June 30th of 17, we had a 13.7% rate of return. So we've done considerably better than the 7%. But, you know, it's difficult to maintain that over the long haul. We're working hard to try to accomplish that, though.
Any investor would be thrilled to get double-digit returns on an annual basis, wouldn't they? Doing awfully well.
It's doing wonderfully well, but we're fully aware that markets are volatile, they're cyclical, there's a business cycle that will lower the returns during certain periods ahead. But we've structured our investments in anticipation of these downturns in the market. So we've developed novelly what we call a crisis risk offset that's going to mitigate the downturn and over time allow us to more effectively address that unfunded liability and increase those assets.
Every once in a while, the market goes into a kind of free fall. I mean, there are collapses, you know, every, what, decade, couple of decades or so. What would happen in that event, you know, something really critical, like a crash?
Well, you know, we can look back. We know some of the events that have occurred, 2008, 2009, the great financial crisis.
Right.
And most public pension funds saw a dramatic decline in their assets. And that was for a fairly sustained period. This crisis risk offset that I alluded to, in a sustained down period, actually generates positive returns because we have three components of it. One's called systematic trend following, alternate premia, and principal protection sleeves. And the systematic trend following allows the managers to shift directions, shift investments to reflect those types of investments that do better in these kind of down markets. So what's important to us is to mitigate the downside and take advantage to the extent we can of the upside. The geometric return is going to be greater. The asset accumulation at the end of this process will be significantly higher than if we merely let the assets rise and fall without this mitigation as a result of this crisis risk offset.
That takes where there would seem to take almost day-to-day monitoring of the market, both in terms of short and long-term trends. Yeah.
Well, no question about it. Our focus is long term, but you know, with the level of data and the complexities of the markets, yes, we're observing market movements on a day by day, if not hour by hour basis. There's an awful lot of data that's available to us that informs the decisions that we make and our managers make. So it takes really dedicated, professional investment people to optimize the return from these kinds of investments.
I would imagine that there are people listening who would say, 13%, how can I do that, right?
Well,
an individual could do the same thing if they did it right.
They could perhaps, but it probably result in significantly more risk. We've got an incredibly highly diversified investment portfolio.
Uh-huh.
It's actually globally invested, and we are able to invest in institutional quality instruments that aren't available, quite frankly, to individuals. So can an individual achieve an equal or higher return? Perhaps, but on a small basis, not with a $16, $17 billion portfolio such as we administer.
The things you just described as being available only to organizations like yourself, is that because you have so much money to invest?
It's largely the level of assets that we have available to invest.
Right.
It's also the level of knowledge that we have as an investor. So some of these investments would be inappropriate for the individual investor because you wouldn't understand in detail the relative risk and the corresponding rewards. And so there are Securities and Exchange Commission regulations that limit what individuals are focused in terms of offerings as compared to institutional investors.
The whole complexity of this arrangement is a challenge for you, I would imagine, to communicate to your members.
Well, what we want our members to know is that these are the retirement fund is a complicated, sophisticated organization. I like to think of it as having multiple dimensions. It's like a big investment bank. It's also an education institution. We're a technology organization. We're a data house. We're a service provider. All of these elements have to be first in class in order for us to deliver on our commitments and the level of service that we owe to our members.
Tom, what's your timeline for meeting the unfunded liability?
Well, let me just say that the legislature has imposed a 30-year time frame. That's generally accepted in the actuarial world as the duration for which these unfunded liabilities ought to be addressed. So when we achieved a contribution increase effective with the current fiscal year, the goal was to address that unfunded liability within that 30-year time frame. As a result of enhanced or higher than anticipated investment earnings, we may very well be able to address that unfunded liability more quickly. So I think we're down now to about a 28-year time frame, but that's volatile because a period of down and sustained markets could result in an increase. But we hope to never see it increase beyond that 30, and we're going to be working diligently to get it down to zero, actually, in that 30-year time frame.
Well, you've got a plan, Tom. That's what's important.
Indeed, we do.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Thomas Williams is the executive director of the Hawaii Employment Retirement System, and you can find his link to a talk outlining the state of the pension fund on the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.